This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Portland Alliance, the city's oldest alternative progressive newspaper, reporting on issues ignored or distorted by corporate-dominated media, and providing a voice for social justice activists, environmentalists, trade unionists, and the progressive community. Information at 503-239-4991 or theportlandalliance.org. Listening to People Rise Up on your non-commercial community radio station, KBOO, here in Portland, Oregon, USA. My name is Andrew Geller, and today we are going to have a show on a couple of aspects related to activism connected to the attacks of September 11, 2001. A long-running theme in programming here on the show. I have a couple of guests with me this morning. We'll first be speaking with Professor Stephen Jones from the Physics and Astronomy Department at Brigham Young University. He wrote a paper recently called Why Indeed Did the WTC Buildings Collapse? And then later in the program, we'll be speaking with Michael Berger, who is spokesperson for the upcoming 9/11 Revealing the Truth, Reclaiming Our Future conference, taking place in Chicago beginning June 2nd. So first, welcome to you, Stephen Jones.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Now, our time is short due to your schedule, so let's just jump right into this here. Why did you write, Why Indeed Did the WTC Buildings Collapse? What was wrong with the official story that made you investigate this?
Okay, well, we all saw the building, the towers collapse. When I first saw World Trade Center 7 collapse, I realized that there was something fishy there, and I needed to study it. That's really what got me going, is Building 7's collapse.
And for people who are unfamiliar with it, that's the third tower that fell late in the day, September 11th, never hit by any airplane, 47-story tower.
Well, yep, exactly. Yeah, and it fell straight down and very rapidly in about 6.5 seconds as I timed it with students. It was just unbelievable how rapidly and symmetrically that building fell.
And explain the kind of core premise of your paper.
Okay, well, the paper looks at both Building 7 and the towers, and I consider the official story, the official conspiracy theory, which is that two planes hitting two towers somehow and combined with fires caused all the World Trade Center buildings to collapse, particularly the towers and Building 7. And I look at the official reports. I describe the objections to those official reports, not just by myself, but by structural engineers. I point out that there is another option here as we look at plausible scientific explanations for the collapses. And the best explanation that I can see that fits all the data would be controlled demolition, that is, using pre-planted explosives in these buildings, in these three buildings.
Now, you have a lot of supporting information along the lines of this being a controlled demolition, and not even just a demolition. You hint at the idea that there were. Well, let me see here. I'm flipping through pages to find exactly what it is I'm looking for. You cite a lot of media reports that talk about molten steel being evident weeks and weeks later. Mm. And that is, you know, obviously a sort of suspicious thing if these fires were ignited by jet fuel. Can you talk a little bit about how the issue of molten steel supports your claim?
Okay, good. Yeah, well, first of all, I'm glad you're looking at my paper. I hope others will, too.
Right. Well, I've read it. Yeah. I'm just trying to reference the specific point.
No, I understand, and I think that's great. And I hope the listeners will take time to read my paper. So, yes, it's the molten metal, not necessarily just steel. In fact, as we go through, we find that, yes, people thought this was molten steel or molten aluminum. We've ruled out molten aluminum for the liquid metal, this yellow-hot metal that pours out of building as the South Tower just before its collapse, and from a high level, and it pours out of the building. That cannot be aluminum. It's almost certainly molten iron, actually, from the thermite reaction, which produces white-hot molten iron. And yes, you're right. The fires in the building, whether jet fuel or office materials burning, simply not hot enough by any means to melt steel. And so that would not be the explanation for this molten metal that is seen clearly.
Now, you are speaking at the event in about a week and a half,
right,
in Chicago. You are, I believe, giving a talk called Solar Cookers, Archaeometry and the 9/11 Disaster. Can you tell us briefly what archaeometry is and how solar cookers relate to the 9/11 Disaster?
Yeah, well, see, both solar energy, in particular solar cookers, primarily for people in developing countries, and archaeometry, which I'll define, those are areas that I've researched now for many years. And archaeometry looks at is basically physics applied to archaeology. And so that's really what we're doing here in studying the collapses of these buildings. It's really an archaeological study that I'm undertaking here because we have certain data. There's data that's not available to us. And so that's very much like archaeology. And we're trying to figure out using science just what happened to these buildings. And this is the sort of thing that we do in archaeometry. Now, as far as the solar cookers is concerned, you see, I'm using that. I've developed and then sent out to people in Haiti. I had visitors here from Mali last week, Africa, and gave them a bunch of solar cookers that we developed. I had the idea, and then students and I have actually built these solar cookers and sent them out to Africa, various nations, Haiti. We sent a couple hundred to Haiti and so on. The point there is that what I'm trying to do is provide a framework where we can think of, you know, caring for humanity as opposed to, let me be blunt, caring for corporate profits. As I discuss what is happening in our leadership in our country, this is just an outline. That's all I can give you now, of course.
Understood. Now, just as a closing note here, you're a physicist. You're not a political activist. You work at a university as a professor.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I imagine, are very interested in trying to spread the information that you've come up with in the course of writing this paper.
Right.
And I'm curious, how do you try to approach the issue of the World Trade Centers did not fall as a result of those plane impacts and the ensuing fire to someone who's more or less comfortable with the official conspiracy?
Yeah. Well, what I do is to point out that the information we're given, yes, we see over and over the towers collapse. And then I like to point out a complete understanding. Now, this is just good science. Requires us to look at other data, all the data that we can, and a correct explanation has to account for all the observed facts, not just the collapse of the two buildings that were hit by planes. You have to consider the building that was not hit by the plane. You have to consider the molten metal that's observed. And by the way, in pools now, finally, red-hot metal pools underneath both towers and Building 7, which wasn't hit by a plane at all. So these are important data. The evaporation of steel, which was reported by a metallurgist as he looked at the steel, and this is described as a mystery in the New York Times. Well, you can't just ignore that. However, the official reports do ignore these points, the pools of molten metal and the evaporated steel. So I try to point out, let's look at these data and then see what explanation can possibly fit. Now, there's also an important fact that is that when actual World Trade Center models were constructed, this was at Underwriter Laboratories, and subjected to fire endurance tests, those models did not collapse. They didn't fail. It's not just a matter of melting. They didn't warp enough to collapse. So, you know, actual experiments, there are similar experiments done elsewhere. So I look at experimental data and observations, and then that's what I like to do as a scientist, is to point out, well, you know, we can't just accept some wild conspiracy theory that 19 hijackers were able to bring down all these buildings when one of the buildings wasn't even hit by a plane. You have to instead look at all the observed facts and see what explanation is consistent with the collapse of these buildings. And that explanation is controlled demolition, involving thermite, by the way.
Stephen Jones is the author of a lengthy paper called Why Indeed Did the WTC Buildings Collapse? It's available at the BYU website, where he is a professor of physics. Instead of giving a URL out over the air, I'm going to suggest that people go to Google and do a search in quotes for Stephen Jones, that's S-T-E-V-E-N, and then outside of quotes, WTC, the first link should bring you right to the BYU website where the paper is available. Thank you very much for being on the program this morning.
Thank you very much. Very good questions.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Stephen Jones will be speaking next Friday, that's June 2nd, at the 9/11 Revealing the Truth, Reclaiming Our Future Conference, June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Chicago, Illinois. He is speaking Friday night as one of several keynotes, and I now bring into the mix Michael Berger. He is the media liaison for this event, and we're going to spend the rest of the time here talking a little bit about the event. It is an international education and strategy conference, and welcome to you, Michael Berger.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for being available.
You know, I just want to add something really cool about Google and finding that paper. If you go to Google and actually just type Why Indeed, it's the third link.
Okay.
There are a lot of people reading that paper.
That's another good search then. To play a little devil's advocate here for a moment, the 9/11 truth movement, in broad sense, is possibly viewed as not tremendously relevant at this point in time, given the other attacks by the Bush administration on the people of this country and other countries. And I'm curious what it is about the search for 9/11 truth that has kept this alive to the point that there is another national event taking place in a week and a half?
Well, I would say first, we just released the results of a new Zogby poll, a nationwide poll, the first national poll of voting age adults. And I think what is behind the relentless pursuit of the truth about 9/11 is that despite the mainstream media supporting the official propaganda of, as you said, you know, the government's official conspiracy story, that almost half of America distrust the government's official 9/11 account and would like to see the event investigated. And to tie it in with what you know, Stephen talks to, is that only half, or even less, fewer than half of the people polled by Zogby said that they were aware of the collapse of this third building, Building 7, in New York City, which wasn't hit by a plane. So it's kind of interesting that with the mainstream media not really promoting any of the independent research, without people having independent research, unless you go and look at it or look for it on your own on the Internet, there's still almost half the country doesn't buy the government's account. I think is pretty powerful as to why this is a force that won't go away.
Now, I've got the entire poll results here in front of me, and the question you reference asks people whether or not they were aware that World Trade Center Building 7 collapsed. If they were aware, and I'm summarizing here, it's more detailed in questioning in the actual poll. If they were aware of WTC7, should the 9/11 Commission have investigated it, or was it okay to not investigate it? And 42.5% were unaware. 5% didn't give a response. So slightly over half of the people were aware that WTC7 did fall. And I went through every subcategory of where people lived, what age they are, political affiliation, education, income, what demographic did they live in terms of large or small city, rural suburb. And of the slightly greater than half who were aware of the WTC7 collapse, by at least a 2-to-1 ratio, those people said it should have been investigated. The only groups of people who thought that WTC7 didn't need to be investigated were Republicans. Actually, I shouldn't say that. The ratio was smaller. If you were Republican, over 70, made $75,000 a year, or were conservative, all those folks did agree it needed to be investigated, but by a smaller margin.
Mm-hmm.
Libertarians and very conservative, politically affiliated folks were the only ones who didn't think it needed to be investigated, even though they knew about it. Like, it was just fine that this other building fell.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you would point that out, because so many people think that 911truth.org or people who question the official story are simply people who don't like the president, who don't like, who are quote lefties. And I think for one thing that there's almost a bit of, I think it's kind of humorous actually, because it as if this is all about you know, destroying the reputation of our president, or that there's something that really what we want is to see regime rotation. So it's not like we just want to get out the Republicans so we can get the Democrats in. And that really isn't what the 9/11 truth movement is about.
No, never has
it's
been.
It's really about holding people accountable. And when we speak to the fact that it's our elected officials that are part of this problem and not the solution. I mean, the Democrats have also kept their mouths shut about the subsequent cover-up, have never pressed for an investigation, and other than a handful, except for maybe the exception of Russ Feingold, not any of the Democrats have really had the the courage to stand up and challenge this administration. So it's, and this is, and this is not the only reason why I'm saying no. This is not a thing here to support taking one party out and putting in another. In essence, I think it, we are at a point in the country's history where people have the power. This poll demonstrates that if half of us distrust the official story, and if we can communicate across that divide with, quote, some of the people who think of this as basically an attack on their values, their president, their country, and realize, no, this is about making this country serve the people. That's really what this movement is about, that, that our elected officials need to be accountable to us. And if we don't have transparency in all the things that we claim, the reasons we're fighting wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and what this country stands for, we should at least be able to walk our own talk in our own backyard. So the American people should be able to ask their elected officials to investigate, and or at least have an independent investigation that we can feel confident will get to the truth about what happened that day.
Well, and 9/11 has so overshadowed the Bush administration that a lot of people may not recall that George W. Bush on September 10th, 2001, in terms of running the country, was dead in the water. He had nothing going on. September 11th was the linchpin for everything the Bush administration lays claim to in terms of its accomplishment, and it is played nothing harder and louder than the idea of terrorists are going to get you. So I just want to reference that. I'm talking with Michael Berger. He's the media spokesperson for 9/11 Revealing the Truth, Reclaiming Our Future. You can find out more about this event online by going to www.911, those are the numerals, 911revealingthetruth.org. And let's see here. So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen at the conference.
Sure. And also let me give the website. It's www.911revealingthetruth.org. And the conference is, you know, in the past we've had other get-togethers where we've all joined together and have gone over research and basically compared what we know and have sifted through various people's presentations to see what are the most powerful pieces of evidence that we have. And now going on over 4.5 years later, we're ready to take this to the next stage, which is really what the conference is about. It's the strategy portion of the conference. You know, not only will you get, we have an education track where you can, if you're just getting into this or you're just hearing about it, you can get up to speed very, very quickly from a beginning introduction all the way up to deeper research. There's also a track where if you're interested in participating in making a plan of action to respond, coming out of the conference with a concerted effort to bring various different constituencies together to basically take back the country and reclaim our future. If you don't like the direction the country is going in and you want to be part of the solution, then I ask you to join us, because this is literally an opportunity from the ground up to build a grassroots movement that can and will take back this country one district at a time, because without involving ourselves in the process directly in, of governing our own lives, we can sit back and complain, but it isn't going to change anything. And I think part of the strategy here with the conference is for us to come together face to face and take the message and this plan of action that we develop back to each part of the country where different people, whether you're researcher, average person, in journalist, whatever walk of life, artist, to not only communicate the message of why it's urgent that people examine the evidence, but that in order to hold these people accountable, it's going to take a concerted action on all of our parts where we come together and realize that for the benefit of the country, we need to learn how to work together to achieve political reform. And the other point of the Zogby poll was to inform part of the deliberations at the conference that if you're a 2006 political candidate, there's an enormous group of people, roughly 70 million voting-age Americans, that you should look towards as your constituency. And if you can harness those people and get them to take part in your organization, that you do have a unique opportunity in this election cycle to demonstrate that a vote for a candidate who has within their platform commitments to truth, transparency, accountability, ending the illegal war, getting to the bottom of 9/11, stopping illegal surveillance, et cetera, you know, making sure our votes are fairly counted so we remove black box or electronic voting. All of these issues kind of come together under 9/11. And, you know, it's funny, people forget what you had pointed out about the president's popularity right before 9/11 was really, actually, he was just a little bit more popular then than he is now, but not by much.
Right. Well, I wasn't simply referencing the concept of popularity so much as kind of, you know, action plan. What was it they were doing for those first 8 months?
Well, they played golf a lot.
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of wrap up by referencing the Zogby poll again, and you bringing up the context of, you know, the 2006 political races and how there's this tremendous opportunity with this new poll out and with, you know, the level of mistrust increasing, it seems, each and every day as more revelations of Bush administration misdeeds surface. There is a heavy urban versus suburban and rural split in the numbers on the six questions related to September 11th fallout. And I'm curious if there's any specific approach that you could envision that recognizes that urban folks are much more willing to, maybe not so much keep an open mind, but have maybe greater access and interest in finding out about this. And it's really the rural and suburban crowd who is kind of standoffish at this point. Not that they couldn't be convinced with good argument, but has that been recognized in analysis of the poll?
I believe so, in that I think it comes back to building these coalitions, and that ultimately, whether or not you believe the official story, I think there are so many people out in the suburbs who do have concerns that maybe are not directly related to 9/11, but relate to the future of their children, relate to the possibility that their children will have to serve in a military conflict, that maybe you're not comfortable with that, or you question sending your children off to Iraq for what now we know was, you know, we were lied to. So I think if we can connect with those groups out in the suburbs, the people who maybe don't share the same concerns, but nonetheless are still concerned about the direction of the country, in order for us to really take back and reclaim the country, we're going to need to build coalitions. And I think at a grassroots, practical revolution, We have to lead this, and although many of us question what happened on 9/11, for those who don't, it really is not beneficial to us to alienate them by making that a requirement for participating with us in taking back the country, because all of us together can make this happen. It is not some far-fetched romantic ideal about taking back the country.
You got 10 seconds.
It's simple numbers. There are 270 million of us and maybe 25,000 of them. It's not really a fair game if we play it.
Michael Berger is working with the coalition putting together 9/11, Revealing the Truth, Reclaiming Our Future, a three-day conference taking place in Chicago, June 2nd through 4th. Thank you very much for being on the program this morning, Michael.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And you can find out more about that conference online by going to 911revealingthetruth.org. 911 are, in fact, the numerals. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to me at kboo@riseup.net. The audio for this program will be available at archive.org. The KBOO website is, my page of the KBOO website is temporarily down. If you go to archive.org, search in the open source audio section for Andrew Geller, you will see this program and many others. Thank you very much for listening.